Billy has been with the company since 1994 and has held numerous leadership positions, including President and Chief Executive Officer of PM USA and Senior Vice President, Strategy and Business Development. Billy became CFO of Altria effective March of this year. Obviously, the U.S. tobacco landscape has evolved pretty dramatically over the past few months, and we're looking forward to hearing Billy's insights on Altria, as well as the broader U.S. market, including the outlook for cigarette volume trends, the regulatory landscape, and development of alternative tobacco products. With that, I'll turn it over to Billy.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Before I begin, please review the safe harbor statement in today's presentation and the forward-looking and cautionary statement section in today's press release for a description of the various factors that could cause our actual results to differ materially from projections included in today's remarks. Reconciliations and further explanations of the non-GAAP financial measures discussed today are available on Altria.com and on the Altria Investor app. Future dividend payments and share repurchases remain subject to the discretion of Altria's Board of Directors. The timing of share repurchases depends on marketplace conditions and other factors. This morning, our remarks will focus on the progress we made this year against our financial goals and business strategies, and our track record of delivering consistent financial performance and shareholder value. Then I'll open it up to your questions. We believe Altria is a compelling long-term investment, and our track record for delivering shareholder value is strong. In fact, of the 57 companies included in each Fortune 500 list since it began in 1955, Altria has had the highest annualized return to shareholders of more than 20%. We continue to pursue two long-term financial goals: to grow adjusted diluted earnings per share at an average annual rate of 7% to 9%, and to maintain a target dividend payout ratio of approximately 80% of adjusted diluted EPS. And we're proud of our track record of delivering against them. From 2009 through 2014, Altria grew adjusted diluted EPS at a compounded annual rate of 8%. We've also consistently grown our dividend. Over the same five-year period, we raised our dividend six times for a compounded annual growth rate of almost 9%, reflecting dividend increases in line with adjusted diluted EPS growth and our 80% target dividend payout ratio. In 2014, we paid shareholders $3.9 billion in dividends. In the first half of 2015, Altria grew its adjusted diluted EPS over 13%, led by excellent performance in our smokable product segment. And in August, we raised our dividend 8.7% to an annualized rate of $2.26 per share, the 49th increase in the past 46 years. We believe we are well positioned to deliver against our financial goals in 2015. Therefore, Altria reaffirms its guidance for 2015 full-year adjusted diluted EPS in the range of $2.76 to $2.81, representing a growth rate of 7.5% to 9.5% from an adjusted diluted EPS base of $2.57 in 2014. Given the recent transaction involving our competitors, some quick thoughts on changes to the U.S. tobacco industry. As you should expect, we prepare for a variety of scenarios across our businesses. We have faced many changes in our industry. For example, the signing of the Master Settlement Agreement, the 2004 consolidation of two competitors, the 2009 federal excise tax increase, and the beginning of FDA regulation of tobacco products. Thanks to our company's extraordinary brands, superior execution, talented people, long-term focus, and preparation, we have grown through these changes and delivered outstanding results. In fact, during this period of change of over 15 years, PM USA grew Marlboro's retail share almost 7 points, and we delivered total shareholder return of more than 1,000%, over five times the S&P 500's return. As always, We manage our business for the long term by pursuing three strategies. First, to maximize income from our core tobacco businesses over the long term. Second, to grow new income streams with innovative tobacco products. And third, to manage our diverse income streams and strong balance sheet to deliver consistent financial performance. Altria's core tobacco businesses operate within an unattractive domestic tobacco industry. U.S. tobacco profits have grown 5.5% annually from 2009 through 2014. And last year, Altria earned more than half of those profits. In addition, our tobacco businesses benefit from generally low input costs and operate without the currency pressures many global CPG companies face. So we remain focused on maximizing income from our core tobacco businesses over the long term. Let's begin with our smokable segment, which includes cigarettes and machine-made large cigars. In the second half of 2014, adult tobacco consumers began to feel incrementally better about their economic situation, which is reflected in two key dynamics supporting the cigarette category's recent performance. First, the premium cigarette segment continued to grow. In fact, the premium segment now accounts for over 75% of the category. And Marlboro remains the undisputed leader as measured by both retail share and brand equity strength. Marlboro's retail share at over 44% for the first half of 2015 is larger than the next 10 brands combined. And Marlboro's brand equity score remains significantly higher than its key competitors, as of the latest third-party study performed earlier this year. Second, PM USA estimates that the cigarette industry volume decline rate has recently moderated, declining 0.5% in the first 6 months of 2015. Cigarette volumes have been declining in the range of 3% to 4% for many years. Historically, there have been short-term fluctuations in the cigarette volume decline rate outside of this trend. And it's important to remember at this conference last year, we were talking about a 4.5% rate of decline. So we believe it's best to view cigarette volume dynamics with an eye on the long term. Our strategy for the smokable products segment is to maximize income while maintaining modest share momentum over time on Marlboro and Black & Mild. For the first half of 2015, the smokable products segment delivered excellent performance, driven by the continued strength of Marlboro. Adjusted OCI grew by over 14% to $3.8 billion, and adjusted OCI margins expanded almost 3 percentage points to 47%. And PM USA grew Marlboro's retail share by 0.3 to 44.1%, driven by retail share gain in both Marlboro's menthol and non-menthol offerings. In addition, pricing has been and continues to be a key income driver in the smokable segment. For the first half of 2015, revenues net of excise taxes per 1,000 units grew nearly 5%. Marlboro anchors our smokable product segment. PM USA has supported Marlboro's brand equity with careful investments over decades, which have produced remarkable retail share growth over the past 60 years. A few years ago, PM USA established the Marlboro architecture, highlighting the brand's four flavor families, red, gold, green, and black, to open exciting new doors for the brand. Marlboro is now able to express the brand's core values, which include masculinity, freedom, and adventure, through the unique lens of each of Marlboro's flavor families. Additionally, the architecture unlocked innovative ways to build the brand and connect with adult smokers 21 and older. For example, through Marlboro.com, adult smokers can engage with the brand through picture and video uploads and user-generated content promotion. Today, Marlboro Black's Way of the Bold promotion celebrates bold stories from around the globe that define modern masculinity, while offering adult smokers a chance to win in a daily sweepstakes. Let's take a look.
Every day has been a new adventure. This is the culture, and this is the way I live my life. How do you describe riding on a volcano? Passion is the one and only thing that drives me to do this.
The promotion has led to nearly 4 million entries into the daily sweepstakes and over 50,000 new registered adult smokers 21 and older on Marlboro.com. In the second quarter of 2015, Marlboro Black grew retail share for its 18th consecutive quarter and continued to build on its strength among the important 21 to 29-year-old demographic. For total Marlboro, its share among 21 to 29-year-old smokers exceeds that of its overall retail share based on PMUSA's and the latest government data. More recently, PMUSA further invested to build mobile functionality by expanding its pioneering mobile coupon approach and entering the world of age-verified mobile apps. In total, mobile logins have grown nearly 1,000% since 2011 as a result of our digital investments. According to ComScore, Marlboro.com is among the leading CPG mobile sites in the U.S. So Marlboro is strong both overall and with adult smokers 21 to 29, thanks to wise stewardship and disciplined investments for the long term. Let's now turn to the smokeless product segment, where the category dynamics are, of course, different. Over the 5 years ended in 2014, USSTC estimates that the smokeless category volumes grew at a 5% annual rate. As of June 30th, estimated smokeless category volumes have grown approximately 3% on a trailing 12-month basis, due in part to adult tobacco consumers' exploration across other tobacco categories. The strategy in the smokeless product segment is to increase income by growing volume at or ahead of the category, while maintaining modest share momentum on Copenhagen and Skoal combined. For the first half of 2015, reported shipment volume grew 2.6%, as the combined shipment growth in Copenhagen and Skoal was partially offset by losses in other brands. Adjusted OCI grew over 4.5%, and the smokeless leading adjusted OCI margins expanded to nearly 65%. Further, Copenhagen and Skoal's combined retail share grew 0.3 of a share point over the first 6 months of the year. Copenhagen and Skoal are the two leading premium smokeless brands, commanding more than 51% retail share of the category in the first half of 2015. Throughout its long history, Copenhagen has developed into an outstanding brand. And today, the brand continues to perform well, having grown its retail share by an average of 1.6 share points per year from 2011 through 2014. Copenhagen complemented its long history as the leading brand in the natural segment by entering the largest and fastest growing segment with Long Cut Wintergreen in late 2009. Copenhagen Long Cut Wintergreen has grown retail share in 18 of the last 19 quarters, with one quarter of unchanged retail share. Next month, Copenhagen plans to launch its seasonal Own the Hunt promotion with an interactive experience on FreshCope.com that is authentic to the hunting experience. Own the Hunt offers adult dippers 21 and older an opportunity to win prizes for the outdoorsmen, by answering hunting-related questions on the site. USSTC has also pursued greater stability on Skoll to strengthen the combined performance of its two premium brands. In 2014, the company began investing to enhance Skoll's brand equity with its A Pinch Better campaign. It also took steps to narrow price gaps on Skoll Classic. While there is still work to be done on Skoll's long-term value equation, we are encouraged by our research showing adult dippers increasingly connecting Skoll's A Pinch Better tagline with the brand. Strengthening our brand takes time, and we will continue to monitor the strategy behind Skoll with a focus on long-term results. While we are maximizing income in our core tobacco businesses, we're also investing for our future. Today, the performance of our large and successful core tobacco businesses helps fund our second long-term strategy of growing new income streams with innovative tobacco products. We're taking a disciplined and strategic approach and a long-term view of the category. We know that adult smokers are interested in exploring innovative tobacco products, and the categories remain very dynamic. Based on annualized first half 2015 sales information, we estimate full year 2015 consumer e-vapor expenditures to be nearing $2.5 billion. This would represent a growth rate of approximately 25% versus 2014, marking a slowdown in growth from last year, during which there were two national product launches and an expansion of retail vape shops. Importantly, adult tobacco consumers continue to try e-vapor products. Still, products often fall short of their expectations, including performance and taste, requiring further innovation and new choices in the marketplace. So Nu Mark is building a portfolio of innovative tobacco products to meet the varied and evolving preferences of adult tobacco consumers. This year, Nu Mark launched Mark 10XL into several lead markets. Mark 10XL is a larger product with twice the liquid and battery strength as the previous Mark 10 products. While it's early, we are encouraged by the feedback we've received on Mark 10XL. Additionally, Nu Mark expanded Green Smoke's retail distribution into several lead markets with new packaging and promotional tools. We believe the evolving preferences of adult smokers and vapers could one day be met with the right technology, whether it's e-vapor or something yet to be developed. To that end, in July, we supplemented our 2013 agreement with Philip Morris International to include a joint research, development, and technology sharing agreement on e-vapor products. This is the latest step in our ongoing portfolio approach to product development and commercialization. While the business opportunity is comparatively small today, we're investing in the potential it may hold for long-term growth. We will continue to invest prudently in building a successful pipeline of products. In addition, we will invest in the regulatory and government affairs efforts that we consider necessary for Nu Mark's long-term success in the category. While we're on the subject of regulation, I'll provide a brief overview of the regulatory landscape. It's been over 1 year since the comment period closed on FDA's proposed deeming regulation, and the final rule could come any day. As we previously said, we support FDA extending its regulatory authority over all tobacco products, including those containing tobacco-derived nicotine. And we believe the agency has an unprecedented opportunity to advance public health goals by implementing a regulatory structure that recognizes that some types of tobacco products may have significantly lower risk compared to cigarettes. We were encouraged that the proposed deeming regulations recognize a continuum of risk for different tobacco products. FDA's implementation of a comprehensive tobacco harm reduction strategy would be among the most meaningful actions the agency could take to reduce the health effects of tobacco use. Our third strategy is to manage our diverse income streams and strong balance sheet to deliver consistent financial performance. In addition to our total tobacco platform, our wine and beer assets complement Altria's core tobacco companies. These include Ste. Michelle Wine Estates and our equity investment in SABMiller. In the wine segment, Ste. Michelle's goal is to grow income by expanding its share and distribution of premium wines. The wine business continues to perform very well. For the first half of 2015, Ste. Michelle grew OCI by 24% and expanded OCI margins by almost 3 percentage points. Additionally, Altria's approximate 27% equity investment in SABMiller allows us to participate in the growing global beer profit pool. Earnings from our equity investment in SABMiller have been a nice contributor to Altria's earnings over time. From 2011 through 2014, adjusted equity earnings from our investment have grown at a compounded annual rate of more than 8%. As of August 31st, the market value of our SABMiller investment was approximately $20 billion. As we said previously, we regularly evaluate our SABMiller investment, and at this time, we believe maintaining the asset is in our shareholders' best interest. Our goal always has been and remains to manage this investment in a way that delivers the best value for Altria shareholders. Our diverse business model, strong balance sheet and cash flow allow us to return large amounts of cash to shareholders, primarily through dividends. Our 2014 dividend payout ratio of approximately 80% was the highest in the S&P Food, Beverage, and Tobacco Index. Compared to other income-generating investments, as of August 31st, Altria has a dividend yield of 4.2%. A strong and growing dividend is an important part of why we believe Altria is an attractive investment in any environment. To further reward shareholders, in July, Altria announced a new $1 billion share repurchase program that we expect to complete by the end of 2016. Combining dividends paid and share repurchases, Altria has returned over $16 billion to shareholders from the end of 2011 through June 30, 2015. To sum up, we believe Altria is well positioned for continued success. We are maximizing our core businesses for the long term. Our core businesses are strong thanks to the investments in their leading premium brands. We're making disciplined investments behind our portfolio of innovative tobacco products for the promise they may hold in the future. And finally, we manage our diverse business model with the goal of delivering stable financial performance and consistent shareholder returns year after year. From 2007 through 2014, Altria's adjusted diluted EPS growth has been both more stable and higher than the S&P 500's operating EPS growth, which excludes corporate and unusual items in a manner similar to our adjusted diluted EPS measure. From the end of 2007 through 2014, Altria has produced a total shareholder return of nearly 220%, significantly outpacing the S&P 500 and S&P Food, Beverage, and Tobacco Index. Thanks for your attention. I'll now take your questions.
Thank you, Billy. I thought we'd start maybe with very broad trends. You mentioned, you know, the pretty unprecedented volume and pricing performance we've seen in U.S. cigarettes over the past, you know, the first half of the year. So I'm curious if you could kind of frame that going forward. As you said, last year we were talking about an outsized volume decline, and this year it's coming in well above expectations. As you look at the landscape, obviously we had a large transaction in the space. How do you see this unfolding through the back half of the year and into 2016? Is it the type of situation where we could see just run where volume continues to outperform and pricing holds up, or do you think there'll be some competitive movement?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Bill. I think, one, we don't give volume projections out into the future, but to put that in context, remember last year as we were progressing through the end of 2014, that's where we started experiencing, and we mentioned that publicly, that we were starting to see the adult tobacco consumers' economics improving, and that continued as we paced into the first half of 2015. Remember, we're going to be lapping those comparisons in the back half. So we still feel like the adult tobacco consumer, from an economic standpoint, is seeing improvement, especially with gas prices. It returns a lot of cash back into their pocket at the pump, and that's important for our tobacco consumers. So I think, again, not giving projections into the future, what we've seen, just remember, we'll be lapping those tougher comparisons as we progress through the back half of the year.
So building off of that, obviously your earnings have come in pretty strong for the first half of the year as well. As we think about the back half of the year, you have bumped up your guidance above the long-term range, but nonetheless, not necessarily keeping pace. Is that a lapping issue that we should focus in on, or is that more spending that we should expect to flow through and back up? Obviously, you still get the benefit of the federal grower buyout payment rolling off at least through the third quarter.
Yeah. One, thanks for recognizing that our strong performance in the first half. You're exactly right, Bill. As we progress through the rest of the year, the things that we'll be lapping in the back half, there are a couple of factors. One I just mentioned is the comparison to gas prices and that improvement we were seeing with the adult tobacco consumer in the back half of 2014. We did have 7 states increase state excise taxes. We expect that to impact prices in the marketplace by about 4 cents on a weighted average basis through the end of 2015. We also have the quota buyout payments. Remember, we benefited $100 million in the fourth quarter of last year, so we'll get an incremental $300 across the first three quarters of this year, but we'll be lapping that as we get into the fourth quarter. And then finally, our tax rate changed. We're at 35.3% for the remainder of the year.
Continue on. You talked about the strength with Marlboro Black, specifically in the 21 to 29-year-old demographic, and it looks like Marlboro as a whole is gaining share within that cohort. If we were to pull out Black and just look at the base portfolio, red, gold, green, how would that track within the 21 to 29-year-old consumer? Do you break that up?
Yeah, sure. Bill, the way we think about Marlboro is we think about it as a portfolio. It's a total brand. So we do approach the consumer across the various flavor families, red, gold, green, and black. So Black is just a complement to that overall brand family. So we think of it as one brand, our approach to the consumers through the individual flavor families. So we feel great about where we're at with 21 to 29. From a standpoint, it remains a focus for us because it's important, and we feel like Black has contributed very well to that.
Could you talk a little bit about the e-cigarette or vapor market as to how you see it evolving? Is the technology there to allow the euphoric projections a few years ago, or is there more heavy lifting to go, and what is that to get to that point?
Sure. Yeah, we really see the e-vapor category being shaped by three factors going forward. One you talked about, it's the product. Right, the product technology, the consumer is not satisfied where it's at today, and that technology needs to improve to meet the adult consumer's desires. Then we have state excise taxes that will continue to shape as we progress into the e-vapor category. And then finally, it will be regulation. I mentioned that they had proposed deeming regulation. We haven't seen the results of that yet. They had the comments. We're waiting for their final proposed deeming regulation to come out. Those three factors are really what's going to shape how large the e-vapor category can be in the future.
Building off of that, you mentioned your agreement with Philip Morris International. It seems like they've taken a stance that there's a lot more opportunity in the heat-not-burn category compared to e-cigarettes. And obviously no one knows how both will evolve and as technology evolves. But I'm curious how Altria thinks about it, or if you're more agnostic as far as you will pursue the opportunities and whatever technology wins out, you'll have a foothold in that place as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say agnostic, but it's a lean towards that. We really are thinking about it as a portfolio approach. That's why you see us partnering with PMI as far as the e-vapor category. That supplement allowed us to pool the resources and expertise, and we can market the results of that in the U.S., and they can market it outside of the U.S. But we also have in place an agreement to have the heat-not-burn exclusive in the U.S. Again, we want to be where the consumer wants to be. And wherever the consumer is, we want to have the best products and the premium brands in those categories to win long-term.
Last one final
Okay.
In the smokeless category, we have seen a little bit of change in the dynamic. Category growth has slowed a bit. Pricing seems to be gaining a little more traction. Do you see category dynamic shifting to where we could fall more in line with how cigarettes have historically trended more towards price-driven revenue and profit growth? Or is this a temporary blip as some of these categories, including vapor, interact with the smokeless category?
Yeah, I think you have to step back from the smokeless category and look at it long-term. To your point, it was growing at about a 5% rate. Currently, it's growing at a 3% rate. It's hard to tease out the magnitude of the individual components, but a couple of the items affecting are exactly what you mentioned. We're starting to see the economic conditions of that consumer improve as well, and the exploration of the various types of and forms of tobacco enjoyment out in the marketplace as the consumer explores across those various forms.
While earlier you stayed away from forecasting volumes, cigarette volumes, but perhaps you could talk a little bit about the shape of the curve going forward. Is what we're seeing an anomaly? Is the growth decline, the rate of decline, secularly slowing, or is this just something that you'll compare against and then you'll resume the historical kind of decline that we've seen prior to the first half of this year?
Sure. I again, not providing any projections into the future, but to kind of look back in history a little bit, the cigarette industry was declining at a clip about 3 to 4%. Remember last year at this time, we were talking about a 4.5%. We were getting questions just the opposite, which was, hey, is the curve down? Now that we're comparing against those results from last year, the questions are, is the curve turning up? We believe you really have to step back and look at the long-term trends in the marketplace for cigarette industry volume. We believe secular decline is about 2 to 3%. And then the remainder of the decline is made up with price elasticity, which is held pretty static. If you go back in the history of the cigarette category, hold pretty static at a 0.3 negative price elasticity. So those two factors are what make up the cigarette industry volume decline.
Okay. I think we'll stop it there and head over to the breakout room. Billy, okay. Thank you very much. Thanks, Altria, for the presentation. And we can move back to the breakout.
Thanks very much.